Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's call, Citizenship Question on the 2020 Census. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question and answer session, and you may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touchtone phone. Please note this call is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to turn today's program over to Corelli Hernandez. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Priscilla. Thank you all for joining this call. My name is Corelli Hernandez with the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, the nation's premier civil and human rights coalition of more than 200 national organizations working to build an America as good as its ideals. Last night, under the cover of darkness, the Department of Commerce decided to add a citizenship question on the 2020 census. Given the untimely, unnecessary, and unwise decision, civil rights leaders and census experts from diverse communities are here today to discuss why adding the citizenship question was the wrong decision and how it is likely to jeopardize a fair and accurate census. Joining me today are Vinita Gupta, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, Arturo Vargas, Executive Director of the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, NALEO Educational Fund, John C. Yang, President and Executive Director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC, and Terry Ann Lowenthal, former Staff Director of the House Census and Population Subcommittee and Policy Advisor to the Leadership Conference Education Fund. Terry Ann will be available to answer questions during our Q&A session after hearing from each of our speakers. First, we will hear from Vinita Gupta, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights.
Thank you, Corelli, and thank you, everyone, for joining the call this morning on a very important topic. I am Vinita Gupta, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. We are the nation's leading civil and human rights coalition of more than 200 national organizations working to build an America as good as its ideals. Last week, I joined Arturo and John in asking a simple question. Will Secretary Ross protect the integrity and accuracy of the 2020 census, or will he yield to political pressure and pollute the credibility and fairness of the census? And unfortunately, today we now have our answer, no, he won't. Secretary Ross won't stand in the way of Trump's partisan agenda. And I think it's really important to understand where the request for the addition of the citizenship question came from. Back in December, Attorney General Jeff Sessions' Justice Department asked the Department of Commerce in an unprecedented manner to include the citizenship question in the name of voting rights enforcement. And I oversaw the enforcement of the Voting Rights Act for just under 2.5 years in the prior administration and can tell you with in clear terms that in rigorous enforcement of the Voting Rights Act has never required the addition of a citizenship question in the census. In fact, the census hasn't included a question on citizenship on the form sent to all households since the enactment of the Voting Rights Act in 1965. The estimates of citizen voting age population derived from the ongoing American Community Survey, which is known as the long form, has been and will continue to be suitable for civil rights and voting rights enforcement. And in his 9 p.m. news dump last night, Secretary Ross embedded this unwise, untimely, and unnecessary decision in a 7-page memo that was riddled with inaccuracies and red herrings. For example, Secretary Ross asserts several times that there is no empirical evidence for the, quote, belief that adding a citizenship question will reduce response rates. But last October, he told the House Census Oversight Committee just the opposite. When he was explaining why he declined to add census questions on sexual orientation and gender identity, he said, "One of the problems with adding questions is it reduces response rates. It may seem counterintuitive, but the more things you ask in those forums, the less likely you are to get them in." He also, I think, is important to recognize that the assertion, that Secretary Ross actually is not able to document the response rate, that the response rate would be depressed significantly, is a reason to go forward. I think it's important for everyone to recognize that it's the Secretary's job, not stakeholders' job, to ensure that there's thorough and rigorous research and testing, that the question will not affect the level and truthfulness of responses. And indeed, the Census Bureau's own focus groups earlier in the year showed that there was a heightened level of fear among immigrant communities that could depress participation even before the citizenship question was added. Now, it would be tremendously easy to litigate Ross's memo line by line, but we can't lose sight of the big picture. Ross is simply trying to shrink wrap a respectable label on a bottle that is filled with Trump's poisonous and partisan agenda, and this policy is poison for the census. It's a poison for our democracy and for our country. In fact, existing Census Bureau research, as I said, already documents the growing reluctance of survey respondents to take part in any Census Bureau surveys due to the climate of fear that's been created by the Trump administration's hostile policies and rhetoric. To be clear, asking every household and every person in the country about their citizenship status in the current political environment will contribute to the climate of fear, particularly when there is no programmatic or legal reason to do so. And so there is a very significant concern about the depressed rate of response. Honestly, though, no one on this call should be surprised by this move. Just last week, the Trump campaign sent out a fundraising email forecasting the decision, telling recipients, quote, the president wants to know if you're on his side. That email laid bare the political agenda behind this question. And the civil rights community is speaking with a clear and united voice. This decision is wrong for our country, it's wrong for our communities, and it's wrong for our democracy, and we will fight to overturn it. We will join forces with business leaders, elected officials of all parties, our coalition of more than 200 organizations, as well as grassroots and civic activists to defend our census and our democracy. Already elected officials are acting. The state of California Attorney General's office has already filed a lawsuit. The state of New York has announced plans to lead a multi-state legal effort to oppose the move. And we are calling at the leadership conference at the coalition, calling on all elected officials, particularly those in Congress, to fix this decision. That is within their power. And the stakes are simply too high to allow this. The fight to save the census is not over yet. Thank you very much. I'll pass it back to Corelli.
Thank you, Vanita. Next, we'll hear from Arturo Vargas, Executive Director of the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, NALEO Educational Fund.
Thank you. The NALEO Educational Fund is a national nonpartisan nonprofit organization whose mission is to promote the full participation of Latinos in American democracy. The census is the basis of our democracy, and it is a core portion of our mission to ensure a fair and accurate census count of all Americans. And in yet another assault on immigrants, Latinos, in the 2020 census, the U.S. Department of Commerce and the Trump administration have chosen to put politics above the interests of the American people. By deciding to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census at the 11th hour, U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross has further undermined the integrity of one of the most preeminent scientific agencies in the world, further jeopardizing the accuracy of the 2020 census and wasting millions of taxpayer dollars in the process. The addition of any question at this moment in time would have catastrophic consequences for Latinos and all Americans. As a member of the U.S. Census Bureau's National Advisory Committee on Racial, Ethnic, and Other Populations, I have seen firsthand the careful and costly research and testing that the Bureau undertakes over a period of many years to develop the questions that are used for the decennial count. In fact, preparations for this upcoming 2020 census are currently underway, with the Bureau's final test taking place right now in Providence County, Rhode Island. This test, set to validate the Bureau's readiness for the operations, procedures, systems, and field infrastructure for the once-in-a-decade census that will take place in less than 2 years, this final testing in Providence is not using a questionnaire that includes a question on citizenship. This means that the addition of this citizenship question in 2020 would be implemented blindly without any scientific evaluation of what kind of impact it would have on public response rates or the follow-up needed for those who may not answer the question. It is clear that Secretary Ross has abdicated his responsibility to demonstrate that the addition of this question will not have negative consequences. That is his responsibility as the leader overseeing the United States Census Bureau, not to do anything to harm the process that the Census Bureau needs to undertake to account the largest population in American history. He has failed in that respect. This is bad policymaking, this is bad business decision making, and this is bad leadership. While we had hoped for the best, Naleo Educational Fund has been preparing for the worst, knowing that it would be up to organizations like us, who believe in our democracy, to fight back. In the coming days, weeks, and months, we will stand alongside with our partners and colleagues from across the country as we struggle to reverse this costly course of action that heats up this costly course of action. The stakes are too high for a failed 2020 census, and we will not sit idly by as those with malice intentions seek to thwart a fair and accurate count of immigrants, of Latinos, and of all Americans. The fight has just begun, and we will not stop until we have exhausted all avenues to provide the Census Bureau with the fix and certainty it needs to tackle its most ambitious task yet, counting the largest American population in American history. Thank you.
Thank you, Arturo. And finally, we'll hear from John C. Yang, President and Executive Director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC.
Thank you very much, and good morning. My name is John Yang. I am the President and Executive Director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC, whose mission is to protect and advance the civil and human rights of Asian Americans and to build a fair and equitable society for all. Let me tell you a little bit about why this matters so much to the Asian American community. The Asian American community is the fastest growing community, as demonstrated by the 2010 census, growing at a rate of 46% compared to the 2000 census. It is also very relevant that over 90% of Asian Americans are immigrants or the children of immigrants. So questions such as this will directly impact whether Asian Americans would respond to the census and be fully counted. Let's be clear. This question and similar policies by this administration will leave minority communities undercounted, underrepresented, and underprotected. Let me talk a little bit also about the process and why this is concerning. I used to work at the Commerce Department in the Secretary's office, and I understand the likely process that took place. The career staff likely presented the pros and cons to Commerce leadership, and then it is up to leadership, including its political appointees, to make a decision. The fact that there was a campaign fundraising letter sent out on March 19th, 1 week ago yesterday, suggesting that census should be politicized, and then to have the decision yesterday evening at 9 o'clock, suggests exactly what is going on here. That the census, which should not be political, as Arturo suggested, should be used for statistical purposes to understand all of our communities, is being used in a way that will hurt our communities. And let me talk about why the decision is unfounded. Secretary Ross states that his goal is to have more accurate data. Well, that goal cannot be achieved if the questions are untested. It is the responsibility of the Commerce Department, not stakeholders, to ensure that all questions are properly tested and lead to accurate data. This has not been done here. Secretary Ross cannot flip the equation and say that a question can be added simply because there's no data on response rates. The Census Bureau has had an entire life cycle devoted to testing and ensuring accuracy, and that they have done to this point. They are now circumventing that process and disregarding the safeguards that are in place. Similar to Arturo Naleo, I also serve on the Census Bureau's National Advisory Committee for Race, Ethnicities, and Other Populations. At our last advisory committee meeting, the Census Bureau itself reported on message testing that they were doing, not around citizenship or immigration, and had the sense that immigration was a significant issue. Specifically, they literally had people walk out of the room of a survey because they were fearful of questions that were being raised. Thus, the data itself that the Census Bureau has suggests that this issue is sensitive and must be treated carefully. The Bureau cannot shirk its responsibility by saying that the community needed to prove that this question is somehow appropriate. For all of these reasons, we stand in solidarity with the Leadership Conference and Naleo, and we will use all means necessary to protect against the use of this question and to harm our communities. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. We are now ready to take some questions from reporters. Operator, can you please provide instructions for asking questions?
Certainly. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone telephone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. And we'll take our first question today from Tierney Sneed with Talking Points Memo. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having this call. I was hoping, you know, you said that the fight is not over and you're going to fight this change. I was hoping you could talk a little bit more about the different tools, both sort of political pressure but also litigation, that you're going to be using going forward to try to prevent this question from being added.
So this is John. Perhaps first from the congressional perspective, what happens in terms of the timeline is that the Commerce Department will present a report with the topics and questions to Congress in the coming days. At that point, Congress will have a decision to make whether to accept those questions or not. Now, in order for Congress to reject the questions given to them by the Commerce Department, they will have to pass legislation or take affirmative action. And so certainly one of the During the ensuing days, one of the things we will be looking at is the delivery of that report to Congress and to work with Congress to address that. And then after that, as I'm sure Vanita and Arturo will talk about, we'll look at other options, including litigation.
So this is Vanita. As you pointed out, Attorney, there's litigation. There's already, as I said, the California Attorney General has filed a lawsuit that includes a constitutional claim, since the census is mandated by the Constitution. There's a challenge based on the Constitution for what the potential kind of actions that have been set in stone now by the addition of this question that will result in a failed census, and that's the basis for the California claim. The New York Attorney General's office is mobilizing a number of other state attorneys general's offices on this, and there are a number of other groups that are looking at litigation. But John's point about the congressional piece is important. Congress can fix this. They can enact legislation to overturn this question, and that is work that, and mobilization and organizing that the Leadership Conference, AAJC, and ALEO, and many other groups are going to be mobilizing for.
And I should add that there is existing legislation that members of Congress have introduced. Whether those are the right vehicles at this point is unclear, but there's legislation introduced by Representative Maloney and Senator Schatz regarding the addition of questions that are untested. There's also legislation directly on the citizenship question that has been introduced by Senators Hirono, Menendez, and Booker. So certainly in the coming days, we will be working with the members of Congress to look at a potential legislative fix if this is the direction it continues to go.
Thank you. And we'll take our next question from Seungmin Kim from The Washington Post. Your line is open.
I actually had a follow-up to John on what you talked about, the report from the Commerce Department. Can you talk a little bit more about this report and what it entails and what Congress exactly can do or must do? Like, is this something like the Senate Commerce Committee has to sign off on, or can you just walk us through the process a little bit more?
Sure. So it is not something that has to be signed off on by Congress. Rather, they receive this report, and frankly, it is up to them what they want to do with it. If they feel that there are questions that are inappropriate in the report, then it is incumbent on Congress to introduce a legislative fix.
Mm-hmm. Saying, like, these questions can't be asked or something like that?
That is correct. That's exactly
okay.
Right. These questions can't be asked or asking for other types of remedies.
And also,
I think there's another appropriate moment here is short of legislation. Obviously, there's a legislative fix, but Congress clearly has an oversight responsibility as well with respect mm-hmm. to the Commerce Department and the Census Bureau. And mm-hmm. certainly, we will be looking to ask Congress and the appropriate committees to exercise their oversight authority and investigate further into the addition of these questions and the appropriateness of this question.
Mm-hmm. And when do you expect this report to be set?
Okay, if I can clarify for the reporter, because it is not the Commerce Committee, so for all the reporters in the Senate, The authorizing committee is the Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs. Mm-hmm. And in the House, it is the Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. And it is to those two committees whom the law requires the secretary to submit this report.
Okay. Thank you very much for that.
And just an addition to that, Vanita, so there's the oversight responsibility where the report could become the basis for Congress to ask for a hearing to be able to dive deeper into those questions. There's also potentially an equity that the Senate Judiciary Committee has insofar as the Justice Department was the initiator of this question.
We're ready for our next question.
Thank you. We'll go next to Tony Pugh with McClatchy Newspapers. Your line is open.
Thank you. I was hoping you all could speak to the possibility that the data that the administration hopes to glean from this question could possibly be used by states that want to craft their legislative districts based on citizen population rather than total population.
This is Vanita. I'll start with that, but it's important to remember that the Supreme Court back in 2016 actually spoke to this issue in the Evanwell decision and made very clear that that states are able to base apportionment based on the total population in the jurisdiction, not just based on citizens in the jurisdiction. And so that issue remains active in good law to this day. There had been a concern that the Justice Department's question or request for this question was an effort by some of those states to do an end run around the Evanwell decision, but Evanwell remains good law, and it's clear that the total population is the basis for apportionment.
This is Arturo. The fact that this question is completely untested and its consequences of being added to the 100% decennial questionnaire are unknown, it is quite likely that the data that will be produced by the 2020 census will not be as high quality as the data that it currently exists on citizenship collected in the American Community Survey. This is another example of how the decision by Secretary Ross has busted a hole in the Census Bureau's budget. By adding this untested question that is redundant from what's being already asked of the American Community Survey, he is wasting millions of dollars in taxpayer money, and he is requiring the Census Bureau now to proceed with a questionnaire that, by all indications, will not promote greater response rates. In fact, will likely promote less response rates. And for each percent of households that fall below the Census Bureau's target of a 55% national response rate, that will add $55 million to the Census Bureau's budget. This is just bad policy decision making all around.
Thank you. We'll take our next question today from Daniel Trotta with Reuters. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. So my question for any of you is, to what degree do you see this as an attempt at gerrymandering? Is this really what they're trying to do? And secondarily, if someone could explain what happens if the Congress and the administration do not agree. That is, if Congress should mandate a different set of questions or try to remove this question and the administration insists on going forward, what happens under those circumstances? And, for example, could Congress mandate adding questions like the LGBT question, which was going to be asked but apparently was removed? Thank you.
This is Arturo. I'd like to respond first. Given that this question and the request for it are without merit, that the question is untested, that the question is redundant and will cost millions of dollars more, I can only see one purpose for why this question is being added. It is a scare tactic to try to scare Latinos and others from participating in the 2020 census. And we at the Naleo Educational Fund will not allow that to stand. This is our Constitution as well as anybody else's Constitution, and the Constitution requires an enumeration of all persons. That's what the 14th Amendment says. And we will do everything we can to ensure that we uphold the law of the land, the Constitution, and that every single person is counted, and would not allow these scare tactics to characterize this census as potentially the worst census that the Census Bureau has had to carry out.
Thanks. And on the legal question of if there's a difference between, if there's a conflict between Congress and the executive branch?
Great. Terry Ann, would you like to answer that question, please?
Well, certainly Congress has constitutional responsibility for directing how the census shall be taken. It obviously has delegated that authority by law to the Commerce Secretary and then to the Census Bureau. However, Congress therefore can, you know, change what the Commerce Secretary proposes to do by passing legislation, which frankly, the president either must sign into law or Congress must override a presidential veto.
All right. I think that answers the question. It doesn't seem politically very likely with a Republican-controlled Congress that they would have a veto-proof majority on something like this. Anyone
well, it's clear that Congress can take this action up until the actual the count. Obviously, the census form will get printed, but this fight is can potentially be a long haul fight.
Thank you. We'll take our next question.
Thank you. We'll go next to Tara Barampour with The Washington Post. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks. My question earlier had been answered, but just to follow up, is there a drop-dead timetable for when it's too late to change this? And if it, even if it is changed, if this battle kind of continues to be waged for the next year or so, does it ultimately harm the census even if the question is ultimately removed? So two questions.
Mary Ann, can you please pick that one up? Thank you.
Well, that's a very good question. So in terms of what you describe as a drop-dead date, the Census Bureau does plan to send materials for printing in May of 2019. So as a practical matter, you know, the questionnaire must be finalized by then. Of course, it also has to, for the first time, prepare electronic versions of, you know, of the census form in a number of languages. So there, as I think Vanita just correctly said, there is, you know, certainly a window of opportunity and quite a bit of time before it could be operationally too late, according to the current plan, to make changes. And I'm sorry, the second part of your question.
The second part is, like, with all this wrangling that's going to be going on in the next year or so, even if it is removed, do you have a sense that this is going to affect the way people perceive the census and feel comfortable about filling it out? Whether the question
is
there at all in the end?
This is John. Let me jump in there. I think the fact that this is being raised at all is already creating harm for the community, is already creating some fear for the community that all of us will need to work to undo. Typically, you have had a situation where you would try to create a partnership with the Census Bureau, make sure that we have trusted messengers out there that will ensure that the community understands the importance of being counted and the safeguards that are in place for being counted. Under this current environment, it was already very challenging. Even if the question were to be removed at this point, there will be additional barriers that we will need to get through.
And as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question today, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. We'll go next to Emily Gooden with ABC News. Your line is open.
Great. Thank you. My question is more about some of the political fallout from this question and kind of looking forward down the process. if this question stays on the count and the count is done, and then we have two figures come out of this, say one figure of citizens and one figure of non-citizens, could we see a group or the Republicans possibly go to court and try to change that case law you mentioned earlier where total population should not be what causes appropriation of the House districts, but based it on actual citizenship, which could really hurt urban areas and minority communities?
This is Arturo. I'd just like to once again reiterate that the census is mandated by the Constitution, and the Constitution's language is extremely clear that it's an enumeration of all persons. It doesn't say all white people, it doesn't say all men, it doesn't say all property owners, it doesn't say all citizens, it doesn't say all voters, it says all persons. And this is why the census is, at its core, a fundamental civil rights issue. And for any American who believes in our Constitution and in the civil rights of all Americans, this decision should be an affront to the notion that we have a democracy that is inclusive of all people, which is why we are going to ensure that we can do everything we can to prevent this question from moving forward. And we will do everything we can to ensure that everybody participates in the 2020 census. What the Secretary has now done is made the Census Bureau's job now exponentially more difficult and much more expensive for the American taxpayer in order to enumerate the entire population.
This is Terri Ann Venita. Very quickly, just on the history, Arturo's exactly right, and it's important to remember when the Constitution was first adopted, Congress did debate whether to base congressional apportionment on citizens or non-citizens or voters and the like, and they, as we know, there was the, historically unfortunate exclusion, or count of slaves as three-fifths of a person, but in terms of citizens and non-citizens, Congress specifically decided to base it on account of all persons, regardless of legal status, and then fast forward to the mid-1800s when Congress debated the 14th Amendment. It specifically considered whether to change that to base apportionment on citizens or voters, and specifically rejected that.
And this is Venita. There is nothing stopping anyone, even at this juncture, from trying to challenge the Evanwell decision. But the fact, I want to go back to Arturo's point, which I think is really important, which is that the Constitution is very clear on the fact that the census exists for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to be able to count every single person in the country, regardless of background, demographics, citizenship status, or the like. And so, but the court did just very recently speak to the fact that apportionment can be based on total population, and I think the law is clear.
We can go to our next question, please.
Thank you. We'll go next to Sam Levine with Trust. Your line is open.
Hi. This question's for Benita. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit more to the citizenship data.
It's really hard to hear you. Sorry, if you could just speak up or put the phone closer to you.
Sorry. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit more to the citizenship data that the Justice Department already has and why this quest for more data is unnecessary.
So the Voting Rights Act, which was enacted in 1965, and the Justice Department's been enforcing it ever since, it's always been sufficient for the Justice Department Civil Rights Division to rely on estimates based from the American Community Survey, which is sent out to a sampling of households in this country, and has never required citizenship status question on the short form, which goes out to every household. And so, again, this question has never been a part of voting rights in enforcement. The Justice Department does not need this data to enforce civil rights protections or the Voting Rights Act. And as I said, the census hasn't included question on citizenship ever since the Voting Rights Act was enacted in 1965. You know, again, it's hard to ignore that the Sessions Justice Department is asking for this data in the name of voting rights enforcement when it has shown time and time again a reluctance to fully enforce the Voting Rights Act. And so I just think that that speaks for itself.
Thank you. We'll go next to Janet Adami with Wall Street Journal. Your line is open.
Hi, it's Janet Adami. Thanks for taking my question. First, how likely is it, do you think, that if this does start winding through the courts, you could simply get an injunction that would delay the question to the point that it just wouldn't be practical to put it on? And second, of the 19 attorneys general who wrote earlier against this move, do you know, were all of them Democrats, or within that letter or any of the other letters that went out before or since last night, has there been a Republican elected official who's come out against this?
Well, this is Arturo. I'll start. I'd like to remind everybody that we do have a system of government with three branches, and already in the past year, it's been the judiciary that has been the branch of government to defend the interests of the American people and uphold our Constitution. And I am very grateful to the Attorney General of California, Javier Becerra, and other attorneys general around the state who have already filed and will be filing in federal court to uphold the Constitution and to provide the judiciary branch yet another opportunity to ensure that the interests of the American people prevail over partisan political interests.
We should also point out that, as you know, the U.S. Conference of Mayors organized a letter to the Secretary several weeks ago, signed by at least 160 mayors, a number of which are Republicans and represent some very notable cities.
And Jerrianne, getting back to this issue of the possibility that this just gets caught up in the courts and we simply run out of time, how likely do we think that is?
I do not want to be the one to opine on what will happen going forward with litigation. I don't know if others want to, but one would need a crystal ball.
Courts are, in the business where there are mechanisms to get a decision in order to be implemented at the timely way through TROs and preliminary injunctions, if that's what is called for. But so the litigation will take place. But I want to underscore something that both Terri-Ann and Arturo alluded to, which is there have been, both at the mayors, at the level of mayors, I think it's important to recognize that there are a number of Republican mayors that have opined against this question, in part because they are responsible for ensuring municipal services such as policing services, healthcare, education, are available to everyone in their jurisdictions, not just citizens. That is part, the Constitution says that immigrant children have a right to education in this country. Policing services and the like need to be deployed to everyone in jurisdictions. And so mayors have been, both Republican and Democratic, have spoken out about this. There are also, former census directors of both Democratic and Republican administrations that have opined against this question, urging really pointing to the fundamental purpose of the census as written in the Constitution. So those are some important data points to pull out as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move next to Tina Daguar with CBS News. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. You mentioned that in the work that you're already doing in communities, you're encountering a greater amount of fear than is typical. Are there any specific fears that you're encountering that you can talk about? And then my other question is, you mentioned that the logistical challenges of, entering a question that is last minute and untested. The Census Bureau has already missed a fair amount of testing that was planned for this year and last year. Are there any plans that you know of to add additional tests where they could add that citizen question to the form, the citizenship question?
Hi, this is Arturo Vargas, and I'll take the first part of that. The fact is, it's not just those of us who work in Latino and immigrant communities around the country that are witnessing unprecedented levels of fear among communities to have contact with their own government. The Census Bureau itself is experiencing this. This is why the Center for Survey Measurement of the U.S. Census Bureau wrote a memorandum to the leadership of the Census Bureau that was presented to the National Advisory Committee on Racial, Ethnic, and Other Populations. This was a memo written back in September, where the Center for Survey Management of the Census Bureau had noticed already an increase in respondents spontaneously expressing concerns about confidentiality and some of the pre-testing that was being conducted in 2017, and that these individuals had expressed concerns about topics like the Muslim ban and discomfort with registering other household members by reporting their demographic characteristics that refer to the dissolution of DACA. So this is something that the Bureau itself is encountering, and which is why we cannot understand how the Secretary of Commerce would have approved the question without demonstrating that this new question would not have negative consequences on the collection of data and on response rates. Dress rehearsal, the end-to-end test that is occurring now in Providence County, Rhode Island, is the final test that the Bureau has budgeted for. And there is only so much time left between now and 2020 by which the Census Bureau will be able to test something on the magnitude of including a question on the 100% questionnaire. This is why the Census Bureau has been testing and preparing for 2020 since 2008, which is why this last-minute inclusion of a untested question is really so detrimental to the work of the Census Bureau.
Vanita, this is Terry, and I think it's also important for everyone to understand, just building quickly on what Arturo said, that a significant reason why this is an unsound scientific and business decision is that adding this untested question with no further opportunity to test, and that window of opportunity has all but closed, invalidates the findings and the results of all prior testing, because all prior iterative testing throughout the decade, which is what makes the census such a robust effort, is based on a census design that didn't include a citizenship question. This would be a significant addition. It affects the order of wording of questions. It affects the instructions on the form, all of which we know scientifically can change the truthfulness and the quality of responses as well as response rates. So everything the Census Bureau thinks it now knows about how this census will go is invalid, and they will basically be going into this census with a blindfold on. And that is $16 billion of taxpayer funds, that is on the line.
And this is John. Let me add that the fear that we are seeing in our communities is not just among immigrants, but it is also amongst our citizens. These are citizens that may have friends or family members living with them, or just simply friends or family members that are immigrants. And they are worried about what these types of questions and some of the policies that are being enacted by this administration means, and that translates into their fear of interacting with the government at writ large. So let's emphasize that. Let us make clear that it is not just fear by immigrants, but it is by all different types of vulnerable communities.
Thank you, John. Operator, we'll take two more questions.
Certainly. We'll go next to Suzanne Gamboa with NBC News. Your line is open.
Hi. Thanks. I just had a quick question about the costs, which have been sort of addressed, but in the memo, the Secretary says that the cost will actually be minimal. and he says that the that they fall within the margin of error. A certain the response follow up falls within the margin of error. So I just wanted to run that by you in terms of what he says. I know, Arturo, you've already said that there is an increased cost on response, but can you reconcile those two different views? Thank you.
Well, I think, Suzanne, you have identified one of the inconsistencies and inaccuracies in Secretary Ross's line of thinking and rationale for why he directed the addition of this question. In fact, there is no evidence that he presented that shows that this question would not have negative consequences. This is why the Census Bureau engages in years of testing of every single question to ensure that it is framed and asked in a way that promotes the greatest response rates possible in order to make sure that it is being efficient in the way it is asking and collecting data. The Secretary of Commerce has undermined the Census Bureau's fundamental task of making sure that it collects data that is as accurate and scientifically appropriate as possible.
Thank you. Operator, we'll take our last question.
And we'll take our final question today from Lauren Clayson with CQ Roll Call. Your line is open.
Hi. Apologies if I missed this earlier, but I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about the difference between the American Community Survey and the Census, considering that the citizenship question is already on the ACS, and just, you know, what the impacts are since it's already included on that and that's sent out every year.
Hey, Terri Ann, would you like to answer that, please?
I will start, and I hope others may want to finish. First of all, the American Community Survey is legally part of the census, but the fact that the question is already asked on the ACS or, frankly, on any other survey is scientifically irrelevant with respect to this decision affecting the 2020 census. Because every census is different, and the environment in which a census occurs is a significant factor. So again, small changes in the order of questions, the wording, the instructions can have significant and often unexpected consequences for response rates and the quality and truthfulness of answers. And so failure to test this question in the context of what is now a completely redesigned census for 2020, as well as a contemporary environment of fear that my colleagues have all discussed in many communities, you know, really represents unsound business and scientific practice of the highest order.
Let me just add that, again, under the Constitution, we are required to have a decennial census that involves the actual enumeration of all people. Again, not just citizens, but all people and the actual enumeration. That is distinct from the American Community Survey, which by design is a sampling. So that is all the more reason that we must be careful and we must be sensitive to all of these variables that are untested when conducting a decennial census for which we cannot do over.
This is Vanita Gupta. I want to thank everyone for joining the call, it bears repeating and repeating that the census is a constitutionally mandated program requiring the count of everyone in this country, regardless of background or citizenship status, and the action that Secretary Ross took today pursuant to Jeff Sessions and the President's clear endorsement of this is a bad decision for our democracy. It's bad for our country, and we hope that all of you will continue to report on it through the work that we will be doing to undo this and to set us back on the right course. Thank you very much.
And this concludes today's call. Thank you all for joining us today. Have a great afternoon.